Hello and welcome to the History of Vikings. The Saga of the Volsungs is an Old Norse saga made up of ill-fated romances, dramatic murders, and larger-than-life characters. In it, one reads of Sigurd the Dragon Slayer and Brynhild the Valkyrie, the magical ring of power, and other themes that will be familiar to readers of J.R.R. Tolkien. The Saga of the Volsungs was first written in Iceland around 1250 AD by an anonymous author. Of course, the stories within the saga would have been preserved orally for many years until they were eventually written down in the 13th century. Our topic of discussion today is indeed the Saga of the Volsungs, and I'm honored to be joined by Dr. Jesse Byock, Professor of Old Norse and Medieval Scandinavian Studies at the University of California, Los Angeles. Dr. Byock is also a translator of the Saga of the Volsungs. Dr. Byock directs the Mosfell Archaeological Project in Iceland and received his PhD from Harvard University. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Dr. Jesse Byock. Dr. Jesse Byock, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Well, thank you. I think this will be fun. I like the subject, of course. The Saga of the Volsungs is a wonderful thing.
Well, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, and I too am very excited about the Saga of the Volsungs. As an interviewer, I find myself wondering where the best place to begin asking questions is. I mean, when you're dealing with such an illustrious cast of characters as those featured in the Saga of the Volsungs, and just really this immense mythological world that the saga invites the reader into, you know, what are the first questions that one is supposed to ask? But I suppose for our listeners, and I'm curious about this myself, where did the Saga of the Volsungs originate? Of course, you know, is this something to do with oral tradition, something that pre-Christian medieval Scandinavians had passed down for generations before it was eventually written down in the 13th century? Is there any sort of hint as to where this story originated?
Wow, you really put your finger on the hardest of all the questions of where does this story come from? And to answer that pretty much touches on just about everything in the story. The first thing is that it's an oral tale. Clearly, it's an oral tale. The other thing is it's a very old oral tale. We have it preserved in writing, especially in Iceland, but it's also pictured throughout Scandinavia and everywhere that Vikings went. Well, not everywhere, but many places they went, like the Isle of Man and throughout Sweden, Norway, Denmark, whatnot. There are pictorial representations. So that we know it was a tale that was told in oral period. And we also know that many of the characters go back to the migration period. That's the time in the 4th and 5th centuries when the Roman Empire was collapsing and then tribes from Northern Europe were on the move, crashing into the empire and quarreling among themselves. And it involves people such as the Huns and the Goths and the Burgundians. And how it eventually arrives to Iceland, where it is put down in both poems. It's part of the Eddic poetry, which is these poems which are from medieval Scandinavia, Viking Age Scandinavia, back from the year as 900 and 1000. And they come to Iceland, and they end up in a saga and also as poems. So I'm sure we can divide this up and talk about the different parts, but it's a wonderful question.
Well, you know, the Saga of the Volsungs has so many great epic moments within the story. I first became acquainted with the saga when I was actually a young lad in high school. Quite a few years ago, I was taking a medieval history or a medieval literature course. I was classically educated and just remember being infatuated with the so many epic moments within the saga. You know, that moment where King Sigurd, an enemy of the Volsung family, yet married to the sister Signy, you know, ordered a large tree trunk to be taken and 10 of the Volsung brothers bound to it by their feet, you know, held in captivity at a particular place in the forest. And every night, the she-wolf would come and devour one of them. Eventually, Sigmund was the last of the brothers to remain. He was covered in honey. And when the she-wolf licked the honey off of him, Sigmund had some honey in his mouth as well. You know, the she-wolf stuck her tongue in Sigmund's mouth. He bit down hard, and, you know, the wolf jerked back in pain, splitting the tree trunk that bound Sigmund and setting him free. So there's so many epic moments in this saga, and I'm wondering, you've been familiar with this text for many years. What are some of your favorites?
Oh, I have favorites, but before I get to, let me just tell you that was one which I've always liked. I'd never thought of it as such a good story as you just told it. And that's the thing, that this tale is made up of endless short episodic stories, one more wondrous than the next. I mean, this idea of the she-wolf devouring one by one the brothers until the she-wolf is destroyed. My story is that the Volsung Saga has been part of my life, and in fact, probably had a great influence on it. When I was 13, I had one of those summers that we all have as a kid where I was bored and had nothing to do, and it was hot. And I found in my father's bookshelf, which I think was the time when I finally started reading books because it was such a hot, boring summer, a William Morris translation of the Saga of the Volsungs, and I read it with wonder and stories like one you just told. So it's always been in the back of my mind, and I think that's one of the reasons I got into this Scandinavian sagas and literature and archaeology and Vikings and whatnot. The stories that the story that follows on that, the story of Sigmund and Sinfjotli in the forest, living like wolves from their underground hut, where they hunt through the forest and kill men who wander through the forest and live like animals, and seeking vengeance. It captures the violence and the nature, closeness of nature that this society had, and also the relationship with animals. This business of howling like wolves at night, and we know from the artifacts of the Viking Age that there are characters that we've called wolf warriors that look like wolves, somewhat like berserks, that seem to be armed. And it may go back to stories of rituals and whatnot. But if you're to really ask, my favorite of all the stories in this is the one that in the Prose Edda, which is another one of these books that I've translated for Penguin, the Prose Edda. There's a large part of it is the story of Otter's Ransom, where the gods Odin, Hainir, and Loki are wandering through the forest, which means to tell you they're in the other world, and they come across an otter who's under a fall, sitting on a rock in the sun because he's caught a salmon and he's dozing. And Loki, the god who's always causing the trickster, always causing trouble, kills the otter. And that starts a series of events which eventually end up with the great treasure that Sigurd and the Ring of Power, where Loki ends up down with the dwarf Andvari and gets this ring, which of course is what has motivated an awful lot of very modern 19th, 20th century science fantasy, Tolkien, Rings of Power and whatnot. So there's so many aspects to the story, but it's this mixture of legendary, mythic, and sort of history that's underlying the thing that makes it so interesting.